It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferris. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, our guest says the investigation into the Lincoln Hills Youth Correctional Facility is a chance to reform the state's juvenile justice system.
First, Governor Walker signed multiple bills into law dealing with criminal justice yesterday. Several of the bills expanded protections for victims of sexual assault and domestic abuse.
Some of these protections include ensuring that a victim's mailing address is confidential, that they get notification when their offender's parole is revoked, and that victims have an advocate when they're navigating the medical and legal systems. Another bill would allow domestic abuse victims to get the rights to their phone number transferred from their abuser to themselves.
Joining us now to tell us more about the new moves expanding protections for victims of sexual assault, domestic abuse, and stalking is Jason Stein. He covers the state capitol for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Jason, welcome back.
Thank you, Veronica. Good to be here.
Well, Jason, what would you say the overreaching goal was with the suite of bills that were just passed?
I mean, obviously, there's an attempt to fill in gaps in the law where crime victims may still not be getting the services they need, or where abusers may still be able to exploit loopholes to gain leverage on victims.
And before we get into the content of the bills themselves, what kind of support do these bills have?
You know, by and large, these were bipartisan bills. Many of them are modest in terms of the changes, but, you know, together they may change the playing field or level it a little bit more for people that have been victimized by serious crime.
All right, let's get into what was signed into law. One bill gives the right to have an advocate present. Tell us more about that.
Right. So up until now, this right to have a victim advocate present during parts of the case was available to victims of spousal abuse and certain other crimes, and it'll now be available to victims of sexual assault, human trafficking, or child sexual abuse. And the advocates for this law say that the presence of an advocate helps improve outcomes for victims who aren't necessarily, you know, represented by prosecutors in every situation, and obviously aren't represented by defense attorneys.
Who typically plays that role of advocate?
Well, you know, typically, historically, in our justice system, I mean, you have this adversarial relationship between prosecutors and defense attorneys, and they're not necessarily, although the prosecutor is obviously looking out for the people as a whole, the public as a whole, you know, it can be helpful, supporters of this bill say, and even essential to have someone there who's, you know, only focus is the rights and well-being of the victim.
And who in particular, how do you see this playing out in the courts then?
Again, these are situations where a victim, you know, they may, he or she may need to go through, you know, medical examinations as part of the criminal justice process. You know, they may need to go through interviews. You know, there may be a trial. And again, obviously, these victims would be in many cases among the most vulnerable targets of crime. So again, whether it's a battered wife or just a child. And again, the advocate would be looking out in these various situations to ensure that the victim is treated properly. And also the victim advocate has certain legal rights in terms of representing their client that an ordinary person, such as a relative, wouldn't necessarily have.
And there were a couple of changes, it sounds like, to a victim's mailing address and also the porting of a phone number. Can you tell us about those and why they're seen by advocates as so important?
Right. So there's a couple of different bills, both that aim to preserve the anonymity of victims who may be hiding from an abuser, as well as ensure that an abuser doesn't use you know, a tool of communication to get leverage over a victim. So the first bill creates a anonymous mailing system whereby a victim can go to the State Department of Justice, and, you know, when the program is up and running, the department will give the victim an address that the victim can give out and have, you know, mail forwarded confidentially to them so that they don't necessarily have to have their address, their actual address, put out in a way that it might, their victim, the victimizer might be able to find it. And in the other case, a victim or his or her minor child could also, you know, have the right to have a telephone number ported away from a victimizer, you know, in a case of, say, a restraining order that was issued by a court.
We're talking with Jason Stein right now, a reporter covering the state capitol for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking about some bills signed by Governor Walker yesterday that expand the protections for domestic and sexual abuse victims. And Jason, tell us about what we haven't covered yet.
Sure. So then there are another number of other bills that passed. One of them increases the funeral and burial allowance to relatives of homicide victims, also increases the compensation available to the parents of a child who's been victimized. Other bills streamline and improve the process for having sheriffs notify people that are targeted by a restraining order, and extending notification rights for crime victims in cases where a criminal has had their parole or extended supervision revoked. So all in all, the bills touch on a very wide range of aspects within the criminal justice system.
And looking at that that notification extension, what happened previously to the these changes as of Monday?
Sure. Previously, a victim could be notified when an offender had a hearing for release to parole or extended supervision or some other changes such as conditional release. Under the legislation signed by Governor Walker yesterday, the victim can also choose to be notified. Again, the victim's got to choose to do it. They're not automatically bothered about this stuff if they don't want to be. But if they choose, they can be notified when an offender has been released on parole or extended supervision and then had that revoked for violating one of the conditions of his or her release.
And Jason, what have we heard from advocates and groups who are in support of these bills about how significant they could be?
Sure. You know, I think there was a widespread praise for the bills. They had bipartisan backing. The governor signed them at locations such as domestic such as DAIS in Madison, which is Domestic Abuse Intervention Services. And, you know, I think this is kind of an ongoing process in many cases, like technology, cell phones, and the like. The practices in society and the things used by criminals are always changing, and so you see the legislature trying to adapt as time goes on to those changing conditions out in the state.
And Jason, as we wrap up, what about victims themselves? Have we heard from anyone coming forward who might have testified about these bills?
You know, again, there's a number of different bills, so I don't want to focus on what might have happened for any single one of them. But they did have broad backing from, you know, groups representing vulnerable victims around the state, and they did as well have, you know, the backing of, you know, very conservative and very liberal lawmakers within the legislature.
Jason, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you, Veronica.
That was Jason Stein, state capitol reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He joined us there to talk about some bills that Governor Walker signed yesterday, expanding protections for domestic and sexual abuse victims.